Hello and welcome. It's another episode here with Living With Mental Health. It's John again. I'm back today with a young man from, I can't remember if it's Northern Ireland or Republic of Ireland you're from.
Republic of Ireland.
And his name's Johnny, so I'm going to get him to introduce himself and we will go from there. So, Johnny, can you introduce yourself for us, please?
I certainly can. Yeah, my name's Johnny Hunt. I'm a nurse for people with disabilities, but also very involved with mental health as an ambassador over here for a movement called Sea Change. Done a lot of walk and talk men's mental health with the lads over in England, pursuing various football grounds. And yeah, just trying to, you know, reach out to people and help people get the support they need. It's an everyday struggle.
I wasn't going to ask you about your nursing career, but now you've brought it up, I do actually want to ask you. Was that people with disabilities you look after as a nurse?
Yeah, that's what I trained for in England as a nurse for people with intellectual disabilities back in the mid-90s.
Blimey, so, yeah, I was only a wee little kid then.
Yeah, I know. I tell you, geez, it's been 30 years since I started my training.
So there you go. I probably about 6-7 years ago, I went into care home and I got my first job in care was working with adults with learning disabilities.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever done. Out of all the jobs I've done, that was the most rewarding one I'd ever done.
Yeah, no, it's good fun. It has challenges, certainly with through COVID world. The last couple of years has been very stressful. But it's sometimes about the little people that I look after, the kids I look after are great. All the other stuff, the politics and the red tape and the bureaucracy and people using COVID as an excuse for some ridiculous rules. So yeah, you know,
That sounds like my psychiatrist, that does. that must bring, during COVID, that must have brought its own challenges because I was glad that I wasn't still in the care industry when COVID hit because I would have struggled big time, I think, personally. But that must have had an impact on you, not just professionally, but had an also impact on your family life because you've got to be careful that you don't catch anything at hospital and then take it home with you.
Yeah, well, I had a period there where I was working in the house for 6 weeks there. The clients were all positive. And that was probably the most scariest thing in my career, as in, the fear I've got partner and two young children. And, you know, this is obviously before the days of vaccinations and stuff. So, you know, going in fully suited up. But that, you know, compared to what frontline people have done in hospitals, it's nothing. But it certainly gave me an insight into...
That's not nothing. You're still having to challenge with it, and I agree with it that hospitals are on the front line, but so are care workers.
Oh, absolutely. It's everyone was vulnerable. Doesn't matter, age, physical health. People. And you don't know obviously when it can happen, and eventually I got it myself. Not long ago,
I was going to say you were down, not good with it for not long ago as well.
Yeah, but I was lucky, I've had all the vaccinations and people have their views on vaccinations and whatever. But for myself, it's that's my job, and I had to get that done. So I was very mild. It was more head wrecking for me being stuck at home isolating over here, as we had to in Ireland. Different rules, different countries, but it's hopefully now we're bit of normality back, but it certainly was testing, stress-wise, and trying to keep everyone else well and keep yourself well and keep family well, especially the newborn baby just before COVID hit. So it certainly is the biggest pressure I probably have ever dealt with in the nursing world, which has had its challenges, but still going.
You're still fighting fit. That's what we like to hear.
Fighting. I'm not sure about the fit part, but definitely fighting.
I want to do like a big section, big section with you on the walk and talks you do, because I'm seeing them pop up sort of on Twitter at the minute, left, right, and centre. I think that's how I met you on Twitter, seeing it advertised on one of the Reading Football Club's Twitter account that I think you were doing a walk or talk. I think it was from Bournemouth.
Yeah, I did the one. That was the most recent one.
Yeah, the one before COVID. That's where we met.
Yeah, the first before COVID was Fulham to Reading to Fulham. That was we've done three over there, and the last one of those was New Year's Eve, just before COVID world started. So what's that? 2.5 years ago.
I bet you saw some sights on New Year's Eve doing that.
We did. Well, it was a bizarre one. It's probably one of the funniest ones because we were dressed up as the Spice Girls on a roundabout in Bracknell. celebrating the new year, coming in with a few glasses of champagne and the sounds of Sporty Spice. So what else could I want at the start of the new year? And then yeah, the walk was some different characters, obviously like Lee, who's sort of set up the men's walk and talk mental health, who I'm good friends with, and we've never done the walks together initially, and Sean, who done the recent one, myself and Sean, Charlie and Jamie, we did the Reading to Bournemouth one just not so long ago, now 2 months ago in March, which was the longest one yet. That was 70 miles, so 100 kilometres non-stop from Reading to Bournemouth overnight, which took 26 hours, that's the longest. That's a good way for describing it. Like the Fulham ones were about 18 hours, they were 40 miles, but I part of me is I like to challenge myself, so if I can up the ante a bit. And that one, myself and Sean did the full walk. Jamie is a young lad who's a very inspirational young man with cerebral palsy who walked he must have done 40 miles of it overnight. And Charlie, who left, finished work and joined us for the night piece. And Dean Hooper is a good friend. Followed his camper van to make sure we were all right. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. But I think one of the funniest things is about 4 o'clock in the morning, we're walking through some random village in Berkshire, and the four of us all dressed in Reading tracksuits or whatever. And his police car flew past us 100 odd miles an hour, turned around and sort of pulled alongside us. He said, "All right, lads, what are you up to?" And we're like, "We're out walking." So that's what we're doing. So where are you off to? I mean, it was all like being in the naughty class at school. At the same time, you all said exactly the same thing. Bournemouth. And he was like, "This is about 50 miles away from Bournemouth." And he was like, "Oh, all right, that's good luck." And just kind of drove off, shaking his head.
See, but in years to come, that's something you can tell your kids, and the kids can have a laugh at you about it.
Oh, yeah. Like there's a lot of the walks, I say Lee started off them years ago, and his first challenge, Reading fans about four and a half years ago, to do the walk back from Reading to Fulham. I was like, I can't be beat by Fulham fans. So I took on the challenge, and Martin, who's one of my best friends now, the three of us did the walk together. We never even met each other. That was a tough walk when you're stuck in a bus shelter in Slough at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring down with rain and you're contemplating everything in life and you're going, what the hell are we doing? But that did it. And then, from there, we did a return one from Fulham to Reading, which was great because we had, I think it was about 14 people on it. And there was a lot of young people, Joel, Charlie, Sam, Jamie, who are like 18, 19, who gave up their time to do that walk. And some of them did the overnight one on New Year's Eve, which are much more enjoyable things to do than walking 40 miles, but they want to do that rather than go out partying, which says a lot, And
that's dedication, that is.
Dedication or mass stupidity, and probably both. a lady called Sam, who does a lot with music world, joined us for that one as well, which was it's great. And Aaron, who's done a lot of mental health stuff in Scotland, Aaron Connolly, is a lovely guy as well. We've all had our own struggles and all had our own difficulties, and that's why that's the beauty of the walks because, you know, it's a chance for people to share our stories. Like when we did the Bournemouth one, myself and Sean did the whole thing together and the other lads joined in. And we met some Bournemouth fans going through the New Forest and stopped around there for a beer and a catch up. And lads in Christchurch, and they started Talking Cherries, which is a mental health group that they meet over a Zoom meeting every month. I think it's every month, I could be wrong. But you know, and it was nice to catch up with them and share experiences, because it's not about which team you support, it's about football fans just joining up and supporting each other. You know, and you know, I love walking, so the challenge, you know, it's good for my mental health to get out there and do it, and to, you know, obviously not sleep for a day was also a bit of a buzz as well. But what it does, obviously it's good to get coverage of it, and you know, BBC Berkshire was always very good, the football club's always very good, a couple of other, I think it was Heart Radio down in the south, put it out there as well. So it just gets people talking about mental health in a positive way. You know, it is tough, and you know, your own experiences are tough, yours are, and everyone has their own stories. But what it tries to do, it tries to make a positive impact as well, that it gets out in the limelight, that it's okay to talk about it, it's okay for men, you know, men struggle, and that, I think, you know, the struggle goes on, but it gives people the opportunity to talk and without judgment, and you know, it's a long time to walk, so there's a lot of time to talk.
You must get a sense of, with the people you walk with, even the people that don't do the whole lot that come along and support you, that must be a sense of, I don't know if I'm using the right word here, but I'm going to say it anyway, camaraderie.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's like a team, you know. It's like, you know, there's times when, you know, especially at night, I think it's very good indication of the struggle that someone has with their mental health. You know, when you're, you know, it is a physical struggle. Like, I think this last one, obviously, because I've been up since, I think, 5 the day before, because I had an early start down here in Royal Island. And then we were going through somewhere in, I can't even remember where, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I swear I was actually hallucinating, seeing things on the road and in the bus shelters because I was so tired.
You weren't picking up the magic mushrooms, were you?
I don't know what it was. It was just like pure lack of tired. It was almost like sleepwalking. But like, you know, that's the struggle. Then, you know, you get some breakfast and you kick on again. And then, you know, once in the daylight comes and there's things to look at. But like the Bournemouth one, I think it was about at night, there's about 5 hours between, Winchester and Basingstoke, kind of like just a long road, and it's just longer than this orange road lights, you know, and that's much.
Yeah.
So it's, but luckily the weather was dry, it was cold, but you know, the part of it is, you know, one of my elements is, you know, I never give up in life, and you keep going, even when things are a struggle. So that, you know, those walks are a struggle, but you know, you keep going, because also as well, you know, the challenge of doing it to complete it is huge, but also to see, you know, especially with social media these days, you can put clips up of what you're doing and people see the journey that you're doing and people get behind it and support it and believe in it. And, you know, it puts a positive light out there that, you know, you can still, I guess, still do things even when you're struggling. And, you know, when you have mental health issues, there are days, weeks, months that are really tough, but there's always trying to find some hope, something to focus on, something to aim towards, and that's, you know, the walking for me, it's huge. I did, you know, I've done one over here last October. That was from Wexford to Wicklow. That was
I followed you on Twitter, watching your journey through Twitter on that, and that was amazing.
That was hard. That was a hard one because I was doing it on my own. And you know, the rural roads of Ireland, literally there was no path, so you're walking into traffic the whole way, playing dodgems.
Not good,
but like, you know, I don't, you know, when I do these things, I just go on Google the map and see if I can walk. I haven't got a clue what the roads are like, but it makes it more of a, it keeps you alert, that's what it does.
On a plus side, that must keep you awake.
Yeah, it definitely does, yeah. Like, but you know, what, you know, what Lee's done with that, and what, you know, obviously through COVID world, I couldn't really travel over to England because of all the restrictions. But Lee and Sean and some of the others were doing, you know, different walks from Wickham to for Reading. I think they did. I think they did Hayward's Heath. I know Lee lives around there. He's very involved with the football club. So they've done it. They've opened it up to lots of different avenues, you know, as in different clubs. And that's what it's about. It's opening up to, like, obviously now there's a link with Bournemouth that we didn't have before. This new season, I haven't kind of worked out where to go yet. Reading to Sunderland would be interesting, but that would take about a week.
That's going to be a hell of a journey.
Yeah. So I don't think I'll do that quite that far, but maybe one of the Welsh clubs. Something different, something just to open up another opportunity. Maybe
I'm sure the Welsh fans would give you a nice welcome. But
yeah, no, Swansea and Cardiff, and there's some good people there as well that I know of. So, you know, maybe something along those lines. And that, you know, over the Severn Bridge would be quite an iconic one, wouldn't it? If you could walk over there, I don't even know if you can do that. So,
well, get a police escort.
Yeah. Won't be the last to do that, will I? So,
but just get a police escort over the bridge. I remember when I went with my local town up to Whitley Bay in Newcastle for FA Far semi-final.
Oh, yeah.
And we get into, just as you get into Newcastle, we got pulled over by the police, and the police had to come on the coach with us, give us a talking to, and then they escorted us to the ground. And that was that was my first experience of being escorted by the police to a ground of football.
Yeah, I'm too so careful, don't you?
But that was a 7-hour journey. And if you want to walk to Sunderland, I can't remember if Sunderland's before Newcastle or after Newcastle.
Yeah. No, it's I think, yeah, that would be, I think I looked at it and it was like about 90 hours. And I think that would be just, maybe one day, certainly it'd be a different challenge, or even the stages, but something next season. But I'm looking at do something over here in the summer. It's good for me to have something to aim towards, something new and something different. And even maybe with the football clubs over here, there's some options to do something.
I reckon that'd be a good shape. And if you ever want to help promoting it, just let me know, DM me on Twitter, and I'll promote it on Twitter, because I think this is a really cool way of, especially for men, getting out there. It's not in a clinical environment, so you've not got them four white walls, two chairs and a table and a clock in the room. You're out and about and you're just talking, and you could be talking from all things mental health to just random bits of conversation that comes in. Something like that must be a big boost for men that are struggling. So
I think people in general now, to be honest, I think this last 2 years, everyone struggled. I think before, everyone looked at men being at the suicide rate between men 35 and 45 was always, looked at I think it's 12 men a day. But I dread to think what COVID's done to those figures, because it's certainly impacted on everyone's mental health, from children to
definitely
those age communities, with folks, it's been relentless. And then, and that's why as well, I think doing one in Bournemouth, it was just a kind of a positive end to a pretty horrid couple of years for me as well. And something to focus on. And that's, the beauty of trying to get people out there. And, part of the Sea Change movement here is, the people that do the ambassador stuff, it's lived experiences. We'll talk about what we've done and how we've done it. And we're all different, but it's all normal. We're all normal, different walks of life. Not somebody talking about what it must be like or what it feels like. It's actually, this is how it is.
When I was younger, I got in trouble with the police and got a 6-month youth offending order. And I asked to be seen by the drugs team because I didn't know a lot about drugs.
Mm.
And when I was at school and young, getting older, I heard a lot of my mates and that all talking about the different type of drugs. But when I went in there, I said to him, I want someone that's actually took drugs to talk to me, not someone that's read it out of a book. I said, I don't mean that disrespectful, but I want to hear the lived experience version of that person, not the person that's read it from a case study.
Yeah, and that's the difference. I think when you when you've been in a dark place and you've been in whatever it is that's individual to yourselves, it does give you a lot of empathy for anyone else that's been in a difficult time and a difficult situation. It's not the same because you're not them, but you can understand what it's like to be there, and that empathy of caring and looking out for each other, especially the way the world is at the minute. You all need to look after each other, and I don't think it takes much to just reach out to someone. And it is the classic "Are you okay?" kind of thing, or can I help? And you may not always have the answers and the solutions, but to have someone to know that someone's listening, sometimes that's just enough. And clinical services are great. Like here, services, there's underfunded, there's not enough, the waiting lists are bad, the usual. So what can you do in the meantime to try and help? And I think that's where, with the online kind of stuff with Twitter, it helps me, and hopefully we help each other. And it gives something to someone. But again, some people like talking face-to-face, don't they? Some people don't text people. Some people like to phone. Some people don't. The same thing, the way of the world for the last 2 years, isn't it?
Before COVID, I was in schools doing some talk on self-harm. And I asked them, what ways can you express yourself if you're struggling, but you feel like you can't get it out word-wise? And they were coming up with, you can write it, poems, draw it, you can sing it, you can rap it. They were just coming up with so many ideas that some of them I'd never thought of.
And I
said to them, I haven't got the balls to go out and try and rap or sing about my struggles if I was struggling to someone. But fair play to that person that could sit there and write a song or rap about them struggling.
That's huge. And that's to me, for me, the whole of this, if, my oldest is 10, I would say when she's 18, if mental health or mental illness is talked about the same way, as every day is in ordering a coffee from a shop, that's, the LGBT movement moved so much in 10 years, mental health world moves in 10 years. Hopefully sooner, but I'm being realistic the way it is. But generation, that they can make it a normal conversation. Like you say, they can put it into words that, I'm 50 now, and for a long time I didn't talk about it and I couldn't talk about it, and for all the different reasons behind that. But if those, that eighth generation of 18-year-olds is like, it's a normal conversation, like, where are you going tonight? Or, what are you doing? Or, that you can say about, you're having a tough time with your mental health. You say you're having a tough time with your exams, you say you're having a tough time with a relationship breakup, or you're having a tough time with your parents. So another step is saying, I'm having a tough time with my mental health, and that's just making it normal.
That's one thing I wish that when I was at school, the SATs wasn't about, when you get them in year six and then year nine. Because I did terrible in them, and they absolutely flawed my confidence. The stress they put, the stress that the kids get put under them, I just wish they would abolish them and get rid of them and let them just work up and get more and more ready for their GCSEs. GCSEs are more important than what your SATs are.
I think there's an here we have it's called the Leaving Cert, and the obsession with having these points that get you this and points that get you that, the pressure is huge. And then, they were put back because of COVID. And, it's like, these are young people. They've got enough stress and pressure, and you're just adding to, already what is a confused or troubled mind by putting more pressure on. And people, people are breaking easier now because of the way the world's been for the last two and a half years. People haven't had the go-to things. I haven't had my go-to thing, which is my football. We all have our own supports and things that help us. And
that's what I'm going to bring up quickly before I bring it to an end. When you go to football, and it wasn't until I met my partner, she actually mentioned this to me. And men go to, I go behind, when I used to go and watch my local team, I'd be behind this goal, singing, chanting, giving the referee a boost, calling in a wanker and all sorts if the decision had gone our way and that. And my missus is explaining to her, it's like men go to football to get their struggles out or anger out or just get their passion out, if you see what I mean. Can you relate to that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, my football world, wherever I've lived, you know, now in Ireland, Australia before there, football's always been my go-to thing, my escape from pressures, just, you know, especially, you know, the work that I do and home life and different things. Football's always been like, I need to go every few months just to let off steam. And then it kind of keeps me going again for a few months. That was in the normal world before, you know, before COVID happened. Yeah. When I was over the football at the weekend just gone, there was a Legends match at Reading and, you know, to go and see.
From what I saw on Twitter, that looked absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was, you know, obviously at different times in my life that, you know, I think 2005, I was in Australia and came back for the game that saw us promote to the Premier League for the first time in 2012. I was over here with my oldest now, she was a baby, visiting family. I went over there and did the same. And my mate Rob, I've known for over 20 years and caught up with Martin. You know, I'm 50 years of age, but I still turn into a 12-year-old when I meet all these players that are younger than me and want their autographs and their photos. And I got to hold the league trophy with Steve Coppell and Brian McDermott and met Joey McEnough and Mertz, the captains, and all these other characters that, you know, have been part of my life, if you like, as a fan of a football club. Yeah. That's my hometown, even though I don't live there and haven't lived there since I was five. But it's not just the game. It's the going up to a few beers with my mates and the out, even off the pitch stuff, you know, just talking to people I haven't seen, and especially like this time, I hadn't seen a lot of people for 2 or 3 years because of COVID. So it was just nice to get up and do some normal conversations. And,
definitely. I'm struggling with crowds at the minute. So I haven't been to football for a while. And we just got relegated into the league below. But yeah. There's 3 or 4 teams now that aren't quite so far away. So I'm thinking about I might try and listen and go to them and just see if I can cope with the crowds, but I don't know yet. But
see what happens. Like, just even go to a game in the local park or you know, something just to build your confidence up for it, isn't it? Yeah, it's just confront. Like I say, I know traveling over the first time back in December, I hadn't been anywhere for 2 years, so you know, the whole going through the airport and it was all very surreal, very you know, when you get sort of anxiety, it really was strange, like it, and it really put you in a different place. And I totally get that. And it, you know, again, there's no right or wrong, is there, about what you do. You do at your own pace.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring it to an end, Johnny, but I just want to ask you, can you give, you can either get, I'd like you to give 2 bits of advice. Because you're a nurse, I'd like you to give advice as a nurse. If someone's wanting someone's wanting to get into that profession.
Oh, do it. No.
And then if someone's struggling, struggling with their mental health, what would you recommend?
Yeah, I think, look, nursing has changed a lot from when I was starting out. It was very much more about people and not so much about paper. But if you focus on, you know, for me, it's, you know, working with, you know, I've worked in mental health and, you know, I've worked with dual diagnosis and now I'm working with children with disabilities. And, you know, being able to make a difference to someone's life, families, you know, the children, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I think that's why, you know, a few years ago when I said, we've got involved more with the mental health side, because nursing's not the same for me anymore. But if it stopped tomorrow, it's nice to be able to look back on the difference you've made to someone's life.
Yeah.
If it's one person, or if it's 100, or if it's 1,000 people, you know, it's a good feeling. When you struggle with your own self-esteem and you don't give yourself that many pats on the back, you actually go, well, you haven't done too bad there. And but I think for people struggling, like we've said here, you know, you're not alone. That's the thing. But you don't know if someone else is struggling until someone says, and that's the conversation piece that has to change, because everyone has the mask on literally for the last 2 years, but the mask of people don't open up, people are scared. But it's definitely amazing if you actually if somebody kind of initiates a conversation with you or you with someone else, it's amazing how many other people you'll find have a similar problem or an issue that
totally
you have a link
agree,
with.
Yeah.
And it can be the most random people that, you know, people that I work with, I've had conversations with that I didn't realize. And then you've got kind of a common bond of you're not alone. Somebody else gets what it's like, and you go, oh, geez, didn't realize that because I wouldn't know. But somebody has to start that conversation. And that's where the change needs to be made, where these conversations are made normal, because it is a normal conversation and it shouldn't come as a big shock. If I said to you, I've got physical health problem, you go, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, and we're not off in a conversation. But when you say, I've got a mental health, it's
scares
still that.
People.
It scares, and that's understandable, because you know, some folks haven't had any mental health issues. But I think, you know, and speaking with my friend Dean, you know, we got on very well, and you know, talked about different things. And I think, you know, for people that have never struggled, this COVID world has been most challenging, because everything's been taken away at times of lockdowns, and where, you know, you all year, you know, you can't go to work, you can't go to the pub, you can't go to the football, you can't see your friends. Literally, you've gone from all to nothing, and that yeah. must be huge. You know, that's for people that have never had to deal with a mental health issue, I guess, before. So, you know, everyone's been struggling. So I think, you know, coming out of this dark world that we've been in, these people need to be looking out for each other, and these conversations need to be had, whether, you know, for young people or old people our age, that, you know, it really is okay to say you're not okay, and to ask someone if they're okay. You know, that's the starting point for a conversation. Some of you might not feel comfortable to say anything, but you could go away knowing that you've asked. And some of you might want to talk. You know, to me, like, the whole thing with the walks and anything I've done is, if whatever I do helps one person get the support they need, then job done. And that's the start.
That's all I've set out with my Facebook page, my blogs, my podcast. If something, I don't want the fame. If something my guest or something I've written down in a blog has helped that one person be able to go and manage to see that they need help, or they want to go and get help, or something, a bit of advice has been said and they've said it, it's been a success.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what it's all about. And I think that's, like, you know, all the, like you say, that it's not about being the publicity. It helps to get stories out there and stuff, but it's about having conversations like we've had before and we're having now, that it makes it normal. It takes the stigma away around the conversation that everyone needs to have with each other. So if, you know, the snowball effect is that if somebody listens to this conversation, it helps somebody go and have a conversation with someone else, then that may help someone else go and have a conversation. It may help, do you know what I mean? So it has to start somewhere. And I think all these different platforms are so good for that, you know, because people might be listening, oh, geez, wow, there you go. And, you know, we've never met each other apart from on a camera. Yeah. Hopefully we will in person one day. You know,
definitely.
Do a walk.
Definitely. I'm losing some weight in a minute, so I'll be able to walk a lot better. So I'm nearly down 3 stones. So
good on you, mate. That's brilliant.
So, right, I'm going to call that an end, Johnny. Thank you ever so much for coming on and taking the time to talk to us. And I'll see you in the next one.